Coming to you live from my apartment in the dark, I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Big Brother recap tonight that I am finally back home after a week on the road to funerals, to weddings, and I am back to a house that has had the wind knock out some power lines here in Southern California. So I'm on a battery backup and hopefully here with you for the entirety of tonight's show. But in case anything goes wrong, I have a wonderful team to help me recap this episode, because anytime you can get five people to recap an episode of Big Brother where literally nothing happened, you got to do it. So let's welcome in the team here tonight. Very excited to be back on a podcast with this man. It's been a minute since I got to talk to Brent. Welcome on, Brent. How are you?
I'm doing great. Like, I love Big Brother shows that are like this, where literally nothing happened, and then we get to come on and have a podcast about it and have a great time, because this is where the magic happens, Rob. I'm excited.
The magic happens. Yeah, yes. I was very sad I had to miss the recap of the recap the other night. Taryn and Liana and Chappelle did a great job talking about all that, but hopefully we can have some fun here with this episode. Excited to have back here with us a man who loves to talk about 90 Day Fiance, loves to talk about all of the imposters on Among Us. Here is Puya Zambakili. Puya, how are you?
I'm doing well, Rob. It is an honor to be on the recap of the recap of the recap, or as I would like it forth to be known, the Taryn Armstrong tribute episode, where CBS does what Taryn's going to do at length in 20 minutes.
They ripped off Taryn again.
Big time. Taryn should be getting some royalty checks on that one.
You should be. Okay. All right. We have back with us here tonight. Amon Adwin is back. Amon, how are you?
I'm great. I feel like the closer and closer that we get to the finale, the more cheerful I become. I'm ready for this to be over. I'm ready to get this winner. And I'm excited to be here to talk about this episode, Amon, if we can call it that.
Amon, how many votes today for Davon for America's Favorite Player?
I will not disclose that information, because then I might have to incriminate myself.
Okay. All right. Okay. And then also back with us, Maggie Morgan. Maggie, how are you?
You know, I'm great. I am still and also exercising peace. So I feel really ready.
Still exercise peace.
I'm feeling really ready to talk about the lack thereof of an episode we got tonight. Like Puya was saying, you know, the poor man's version of what Taryn does. So I'm ready to chat about all of it.
Yeah, what a weird night for Big Brother. You know, this has been the season where they're trying to just stretch and stretch and stretch. So we had Julie Chen Moonves hosting this like it was a live show. I don't really know why we needed her, I guess, to say that there was going to be a competition. Brent, did that strike you as oddly formatted?
It did. I didn't understand why she was there. It's not a Thursday. Like, there's nobody going home. That's the only reason she joins us, is to send people home. And I really wanted to say, like, why are you here? Because she didn't add anything to the proceedings. And I got more fun out of the announcer rhyming in the backyard than I did from Julie Chen.
Yeah. And then, Amon, what are we going to do for 2 hours on Wednesday?
I am hoping that maybe they are going to give us more jury deliberation, maybe a little bit more time for final two speeches and some talkbacks. Maybe. I mean, we've been asking for that for years. We've been wanting them to borrow a little bit more of the Survivor format. I'm not saying it'll be that, but maybe it'll be a little bit more in that direction. I mean, because we've already seen part one. All we're going to see is part two. Part three isn't that much time. What else left is there but jury stuff and final two stuff.
That's true. But yeah, this is really weird, because I feel like we've already borrowed from a number of things that we would already see in the finale, catching up with the pre-jury, part one of the HOH. So we have less to do in the finale and more time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, this all comes down to, if you're giving us this much time, if you're trying to squeeze the season for everything it's worth, ideally, obviously, the dream is to get a little bit more out of that jury segment. Give me a longer roundtable, maybe a longer deliberation with the jury questioning the final two, perhaps. Those would all be great points. Now's the time to do them. We have the extra time. That's what I want. Are we going to see some repetition? That's my biggest worry, is the other side of the coin. Are we going to get more of the scenes again, recycled, and then it's like a recap of the recap of the recap of the recap slash finale? That I don't want.
Maggie, Julie Chen Moonbeth said we were going to reunite all 16 cast members from this season. There's no chance we're bringing everybody in live, including the pre-jury, right?
No, I mean, I have a feeling that even if the pre-jury is there, they'll be like on the other side of this, maybe sitting in the audience 6 feet apart with masks on. But I just imagine that they'll be on Zoom. I'm assuming the same way that press will be like post show, which probably will be better for them just in general to keep the flow so that some of these pre-jurors, you know, are able to say what they want to say, but also like within the show's bounds, you know, like what the show wants to present about these people. You know what I mean? Like just so that Janelle can't go off about, you know, Nicole's brand deals or anything like that. Yeah. But yeah, I can't imagine that they'll be there.
But do you think that they'll give Nicole Franzel the mute button, like at the last debate, if Janelle starts talking bad about her on Zoom, that she'll be able to cut that out, mute it.
You know,
get out of here.
With the way
over it.
With the way the season's going, maybe they will just pass Nicole like a little control button so that she can be like, no, thank you. Janelle, I just don't think she likes me. Even though I like her. Even though I like her, I like her. But, you know, no. No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just talk about what they did here. Interesting format tonight where basically we got like the first 30 minutes was like a deep dive into all three of the final three's games to this point. And they kicked us off with Enzo. Brent, any thoughts on the Enzo package?
I mean, I have to say that this was probably the one that I struggled with the most because it was clear that they had given him some stuff to say. It was literally like, Enzo, cue card. Because of my flawless social game, I have been able to maintain my place in the house. Like when he said that, when he said flawless, and I don't think Enzo's ever used the word flawless in his life. I used it every other day, but he's never used it. I knew that they were feeding him BS.
Yeah. Amon, any other big takeaways from Enzo?
To be honest, I really don't remember much of it because it was such a blur. It was just like, where is all of this coming from?
The part about when he said, you know, I voted to keep Nicole in the house and that may cost me, but on the other hand, he got me here. Like everyone at home was like...
Yeah, and he said the same thing whenever he won HOH last week and they did the HOH hot seat and they put it up on the Twitter page or the Facebook page and they're like, yeah, so do you regret not cutting Nicole? And he's like, no, because it got me here. But if I lose, then yes. And I'm like, what kind of, that is a fancy Fencerton answer. It's either one or the other. Like, you're either mad about not cutting her or you're not. Like, come on.
We have Maggie here, the self-proclaimed Stanzo, who told us all about Enzo and his chances coming into this season. So, Maggie, you've been our go-to Enzo person for the whole season. Did they do Enzo justice?
I mean, I kind of have to agree with Brent because we all, although obviously I am a Stanzo, I do love the meow meow. His vocabulary is about 17 words and I don't think flawless is one of them. I mean, I think that Enzo is describing his game the way that Enzo plays the game, which is perhaps a bit overblown, a bit fancy Fencerton, but with a lot of pizzazz, because that's how Enzo does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Puya, any other thoughts on Enzo?
Honestly, no. It was kind of, you know, the heartwarming parts that we saw in the recap of the recap episode where the ending with Enzo and the fire in his heart. That's kind of what I've wanted to see. Mm-hmm. Kind of hearing him talk about the his only alliance stuff is his kids. That warmed my heart a little bit. Especially
but that's not true. Puya, that's not true. That is B freaking S. That is not true that his only alliance is his only two kids. Because if he had his druthers, he would take Cody to the final two and you know it.
Over his kids?
Not over his kids, but he'd take Cody to the final two and lose $500,000. That is the T.
Yes.
No. Okay.
Also, Brent, we're all, you don't have to yell.
I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't know
how you really feel.
A lot of people, you know, have the headphones right in their eardrum. You don't need
to. But I agree with that rage, though, because this is we've been yelling at him for all season, and
right,
he doesn't hear it, obviously. And it's because I agree with you as well, Puya. Like, that stuff to me, like at the end of the episode before the last one, where he's like, man, I didn't come here for third place. I need to get to the second one. I need to win this for my kids, all that. Like, when I saw that fire and that passion, I was like, I believe you, but you did not follow through. You did nothing to get yourself there. So it's like, why wait so long to give us that? That was the All-Stars energy that we all wanted all of you guys to have. And giving it to us now, it's great and everything, but where is it?
You know,
where are the receipts?
That's my thing about Enzo, is that on 12, the reason that nobody respected him was because they felt like he didn't get the chance to do anything in Big Brother. He never won any competitions. They felt like he didn't have the chance to ever do any game moves. And it's the same reason that they're not respecting him this season. Even though he won, they were like, oh, well, he just did everything Cody said. Like, Enzo is great at getting along with people and getting to the end. I think that if you throw Enzo in 100 seasons, he gets to the end 98 of them. But I don't think he can ever win, because Enzo is not that guy. Enzo is not going to put himself out there in that way. He is a bit of a scaredy cat.
He's a cautious player. Meow. Exactly. Yeah. That's correct. Yes, he's a scaredy. Meow. Not the meow meow. He's the scaredy cat. And I do think that I also think that the fact that he won a few competitions early on sort of hurt him, because I know that he came into this season going, well, you know, people didn't respect me on my original season because I didn't do anything. But look, I've done stuff now. I've won stuff now. And like, I feel like that sort of like in his mind absolved him of having to do anything else when it really counted and he needed to evict Nicole. Like that's the real tea.
Yeah. Puya, Enzo is not a closer.
That's exactly it. No, most definitely not a closer. I think ultimately what Brent just said resonates hard, right? He padded that resume real sweet at the start. He comes into the season being like, my one flaw was not winning competitions. He gets that sorted. What he doesn't realize, what is critical here, what next time, should he ever play a third time, which I don't think we're going to see. I don't think we need to see. It's fine.
We're good.
Right. If he plays again, what is he going to say? I didn't take risks. And that is where his problems lie. He just leaned on what he was doing. He leaned on the easy decisions. He leaned on the easy way out. And then he gets all the way here. And Amon brings it up. He kind of puts it in a choose your own adventure where if I win, yes, that was the right move. If I lose, no, I'm going to regret it, which is not a good place to be. If you have to wait for the result to decide whether it was a good move or a bad move. So I think ultimately, all that being said and done, he doesn't think he's playing for third place, but this is the second season in a row where he's kind of looking like he's going to end up in that position. So yeah, it's sad.
Okay. Let's talk about then. Yes.
Before we move on, I just want to ask the panel, are you with me? I want to ask the four of you, are you with me in that I really want Enzo to get third place because I want him to know that he made a mistake? Like, in my heart of hearts, I wanted Enzo to win, but like now I'm like, bitch, I want you to get third place because I want you to see that you made mistakes and that you should have voted out Nicole. Who y'all, you with me?
I mean, if that's the lesson he's going to take, sure, but I don't necessarily think so. I mean, you know, these three segments tonight are kind of already like the revisionist of it all, right? So I feel like he's going to come out and be like, I gave it my all. I didn't have comps last time. I had comps this time. It is what it is. I was loyal to my boy from Jersey.
It is what it is. I hope I never hear that again.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
I recorded with Bryce earlier today, catching him up on all of the stuff for BB22. And yes, I said on his podcast that I was having a lot of schadenfreude right now. I was enjoying a bit of like the discontent that Enzo was feeling. At the same time, I am a Pisces. I exist on all planes. So right now, at the end of the day, I'm like, I just feel bad for him now. I'm just like, and I know that I shouldn't, but it's just like, Enzo, man, like, you're talking about your kids and all this, and I want that for you, but like, it's too late. And I'm just like, at this point, I'm just like, it is what it is. Just take the third place and go. Good, congratulations. You played a good social game. We'll know that about you forever, for all time. And that's all I need from Enzo now. I'm good. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes.
Oh, I was just going to say, I feel you. You're Pisces. I'm a Cancer. I feel you. I want Enzo to get second place because I want him to get 50K over Franzel. Just for my own reasons, because I want I like Enzo way more. I just would rather see him get more money because I think that he's fun and very lovely with his kids. And I think that, and also just like as a Big Brother fan, Enzo will go to Big Brother events for the rest of his life. Enzo will be 80 years old attending a Big Brother event. And I think Nicole will never go to another Big Brother event for the rest of her life. So just like as a fan, I'm like, well, let's reward the person who will represent Big Brother All-Stars better, All-Stars 2 better with 50K over Franzel, who will, you know, disappearance in the night.
What is my counterpoint of that? I'll be happy when he gets third place. He had a chance to get about as far, but give us good TV along the way. And he punted on that in the triple eviction. And so for me, as a Big Brother viewer, that is an unforgivable sin. And so I've been out on Enzo ever since that night.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm with you.
All right. So let's talk about Cody. We saw Cody, winner of 7 comps, talk about his game. Puya, what'd you think about the Cody retrospective?
I mean, you know, he kind of
came in only 2 hours and 35 minutes shorter than Taryn's Cody retrospective this morning.
Exactly. They were able to squeeze it in between two commercial breaks. That kind of works out. You know, it's a lot of the same stuff we would have expected him to say. I won these comps. I had 3 final twos from the second day. And then starts the theme of the season when we leave a decade down the line is the committee, full stop. That's basically everything is still revolving around the committee for everyone's storylines to place everything where it's at. But then, you know, bragging about not being on the block this season, both him and Cody, both him and Enzo did that as well. And then talking about the one time where he was not safe was the final four veto and he clutched that, which, you know, facts, right? It is what it is. It felt a little bit less rehearsed like Enzo's did, but also I feel like he's just had this material from the beginning that he could have worked on because, you know, the homeboy's been riding real smooth for a minute. So he's had the time to think about this.
Brent, how are you feeling about Cody right now?
I mean, I feel good about Cody. I mean, like, it's like he's about ready to win the game. I don't see a way that he doesn't win the game unless one of these two wakes up and decides that they want to get rid of him, which it doesn't seem like either one of them want to do. So that's frustrating. It does feel like in some ways that he's had virtually no opposition. So it's very hard for me to get emotionally satisfied by somebody's win when I feel like they haven't had any hardship along the way. Like this, like we've had seasons like this before where somebody's had no hardship along the way, but even a season like, you know, Paul in 19, where he virtually controlled everything that season, there were still like various times where Paul really wasn't getting his way, and Cody's gotten his way all season long and it looks like he's gonna win. Even in 19, Paul got to the end and didn't win, and I knew there was a chance that he might not win, but I feel like Cody's gonna win. It's just I'm just waiting for them to close the chapter. I'm with them on. I'm just waiting for this thing to be over. Sorry.
Yeah. It's you know, it's weird this so many things from this year, but you know, in Survivor we also had a all-star season and we had Tony come back and play one of the most electric games that we've ever seen to win that season and become the two-time winner. And then we have this Cody game, which is just, you know, has no excitement whatsoever in any way, shape, or form in the course of a dominant but very boring game.
Yeah, it doesn't vibrate you, right? Like, it's just not, there's no pizzazz to it. There's no juice. There's no seasoning. It's like, cool, Cody, you did a good job. Everything worked out to your plans. You cemented yourself, you insulated yourself, you won the comps, you exercised control whenever you needed to. But it's just, I mean, and it's great. I mean, he's definitely a worthy winner of the season, but it's just like, all right, okay. Like, and that kind of sucks because you want the drama of it all. You want the struggle. You want a story that has some sort of opposition to it, and we're just not getting that. There's shout out to Big Brother Network, because they do this every year where they analyze the top three, and they have 3 lists of criteria of how they are, you know, critiquing the players, and they have strategy, they have social game, and they have control. And on their slot for Cody, they had like strategy was like maybe here, Then they had social here and they had control here. And I thought that was an interesting distinction between strategy and control, because Cody didn't really have to do a lot of strategy because the committee was always in power. So it's like, yeah, we can commend him for always being in the right, but how much like cerebral nature was there to his game other than, oh, seeing people in power, we know the scripts, let's follow the script to the end of the game. And once you get to the end, you're just sitting there like, okay. So, I mean, I guess this is it.
Just to push back on that a little bit, I do think that there were times where Cody used his social game as strategy, meaning he got people to do what he wanted them to do, even things that were not in their best interest. I point to mainly Ian being evicted, him using his social ability and, you know, like his overall willpower to get Nicole and Danny to just really be scared of offending Cody, you know, ending up on the bad side of him. And they did something that was against their own best interest in evicting Ian to appease Cody. And that was all him.
Definitely. I want not to say that he's devoid of any strategy in his game. Definitely. Yeah. I think that point, definitely. But I think if I had to say, like, I think more of it has to do with the fact that, you know, he had the numbers and that's just kind of how the cookie crumbles, like 90% of the time. But I mean, nonetheless, it's still a very deserving game and a winning game, I think. So,
Maggie, you're such a student of the characters of Big Brother that could you give us your assessment of the character of Cody Calafiore?
The problem with Cody is that he is so vanilla and like he is a good guy. But he's not the best guy. You know, he's not Kacer. We're not like, oh, I just love that guy. And he's also not like evil. You know, we're not like, oh, Paul or Dr. Will. Like, let's see. Like, he's just the most inoffensive person ever, which I would love to be friends with him. Like, I think he would be a great time to like be around. I understand why people like respond to him in the game, but he is so boring to watch. Like, you know, if Enzo played the way he described his game tonight in the package, so did Cody. It's just like vanilla and like snoozy and boring. And I feel like Cody as a player is the same. I mean, not at all, at all. Like, the way he plays, but the character, his personality, the way he presents is very Casey, Big Brother 20, just like inoffensive, great at comps, like not
gets in like maybe one or two tiffs.
Yeah, like not setting my world on fire, but the other people playing with him really like him. And that type of player is like so lame to watch win, just from my perspective. That's why I want like Enzo to win or Nicole, you know, like even though Cody objectively deserves it. And if Cody wins, I will be happy. Like, I don't want that, you know, like let's have something fun happen.
Yeah, it just seems like we're all sitting here like feeling very lukewarm about it. And that's like that's like the frustrating part. And like, I would never like indulge myself to solely want to see somebody back on the season because of the way that they look. Because I will admit, I was shallow as hell when I found out that Cody Calafiore was coming back. I tweeted out immediately. I was like, I have no qualms seeing Cody Calafiore coming back for the sole fact that I would like to see Cody Calafiore come back and look what that has gotten me. Look, now this is what we're dealing with.
Right? Even his looks are like the most inoffensive. He's talking on that episode about how he's so like embarrassed by his nose. And I'm like, oh, but your nose is fine. You know, it's just all fine.
Not according to Brent.
No, Yeah.
Honestly, I do think ultimately everything we're saying kind of rings true in that, you know, Big Brother in its core, when the definition has been there, when it's been introduced in the earlier seasons, the term power struggle is a big part of it. And I think ultimately when we look back, power is there when you define this game, when you look at BB22, there wasn't much struggle for what I'm thinking is probably the front runner, the inevitable winner at this stage. So if Cody is to win, I think that's ultimately where the biggest critiques are, where there wasn't a struggle. I think everyone who, you know, we watch movies, we watch shows, there's hills and valleys, there's ups and downs. And when it's just an up, 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 it's a little bit stale. And I think that's what everyone's saying in the critiques that we're putting out there. Obviously, looking at the crop of remaining people, best game played in the house, I think, no debate. But it's just, you know, I want that flavor.
No flavor.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'll say is maybe because we talk on this show a lot about the meta strategy, and Taryn specifically talks about how past seasons will, you know, affect future seasons. And I think this is definitely a season that will be very influential because of the fact that it is All-Stars. It has more eyes on it. Fans that have long since forgotten about Big Brother have come back to watch. I feel like this will definitely be a season where people look back on to see what kind of strategies have worked. And we are kind of getting tired of the people that sort of like stay in the background and are very muted and then come out at the end and win. Maybe with Cody winning so many comps, maybe we'll get more people in the future that are more willing to gun for competitions and be a little bit more hungry. Like if I had to think of any positive that could come from this, that's the only thing that I could think of in terms of future gameplay.
Yeah, Amon, or even be like more malleable, like do the Rob Cesternino thing from his Survivor season where you jump from alliance to alliance because you're like, this person has too much power, so I'm going to move over here and then I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He just had too tight a grip on the people he was working on. And if somebody had gotten wise and been like, well, let me pop over to Tyler for a second so we can take out Cody and then I'll turn around and, you know, like, I just can't believe that in an All-Star season, we didn't get more of that.
Okay, well, let me just play devil's advocate then. So if anybody was going to get Cody this season, if we look back at it, what was the point where somebody, based on the competitions that were won, is there a point when somebody could have gotten Cody and they didn't?
Tyler.
What was...
HOH?
Eviction. Yep, Tyler, triple eviction. It was not in his best interest to take out Danny at that point. Not after having ended up on the wrong side of the vote in the first part of the triple eviction. He knew he was in hot water then, and he still... Like, Tyler played the second part of the triple eviction as if the first part of the triple eviction had never happened. Well,
he should have put Cody and Enzo up on the block when he won the HOH in the triple eviction.
I think so. Yes, yeah. Because like he had to know at that point, my ass is grass if I continue. Like, you can't just continue on the way that the book was reading at that point. He was still in the frame of mind. Like, okay, because going into the triple eviction, he was like, yes, I'm going to take out Danny. And that was great up until the point in time where Memphis put Nicole and David up on the block and you voted to evict Nicole and ended up on the wrong side of the votes with right. Enzo lying to your ass and right. Cody and Danny not supporting you. So, yeah, you should have used your HOH. And I know they see it again, and this is where I'm going to echo Taryn. It was so fast moving that if Tyler had maybe, you know, a couple days to think about it or a night to think about it to get some information, he might have realized that, hey, I should have taken out Cody here. I should nominate Cody and Enzo, or at least Cody, maybe Cody and Nicole. This is something where I need to change the status quo here.
One of them will go, yeah.
Yeah, but instead he just continued on as if nothing had happened and then woke up surprised the next week when he was out of the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I agree. I forget what the veto competition was after that Christmas HOH win, the one that Devon almost won. Because Devon was another one that was on to Cody beforehand. She had told Enzo weeks before, like, I'm worried about Cody. I don't know about him. Their little four person alliance that they had constructed between her, Bailey, and Enzo had long since dissolved. And even Nicole was so happy that Christmas had won that HOH because she was like, I saw my game flash before my eyes that Devon had won. I think that there were definitely moments in time where there was a potential for Cody to at least, if not be nominated outright, be backdoored. So, but we just didn't get those wins. So it just didn't happen. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about then the third package of the player that I think would be the most polarizing winner of the season, and that would be Nicole Franzel. Puya, how'd you think about the Nicole package?
I mean, this Nicole package is kind of that one monologue that I remember Nicole gave us, which was, hey, I'm playing this up, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to do an impression. I don't know why I just defaulted into it. But basically, like, you know, up in the... I did this strategically. All my emotions, all the range of emotions you saw was strategic. You know, the whole, I didn't mean to say that out loud of it all. Like, it was kind of similar stuff. Talked about her final two with Cody. Talked about her final 2 million club with Ian. And then kind of showed that, okay, the pivot happened when I lost Danny and Ian. That's when I upped my game, turned it up, and then won two comps in 1 week. But basically being like, that's when I turned it all on. So, yeah, okay. Like, hey, do you? You got to market yourself for the final two. You got to market yourself for the final two. So I think, again, if we're comparing to the other two people, I think Nicole is proving that she is going to be able to put a good enough case for herself when she gets into the final two, if she's there to plead for herself. So I think she's going to do fine there. But yeah, ultimately she did explain her game the way she sees fit and the best way that she'll need to say it come finale night.
Brent, how did the Nicole package sit with you?
It was like putting lipstick on a pig. Like, really? Like, this is, oh my God. Yeah. This is not a fun game to watch. And God bless them. They tried to make it look as good as possible. And she tried to play it up in the diary room.
You voted out her friend, Ian.
Right. Oh, her
the hardest thing she ever had to do.
Yes. I honestly wish she would have owned in the diary room more that she was playing it up. Like, you know, hey, remember a couple weeks ago when you guys saw me on the live quote unquote show where I was voting off Ian? Like, I was really playing those tears up. Like, I really wasn't that.
But she was playing it up to America, not to
people. Yeah, I know.
America, I was lying to you.
I know. I wanted her to be like, America, I was lying to your bitch ass. Like, why? I was lying to you guys. Because I just wanted her to own more stuff. Because I do think that she's a good player. As I said, the one person that I do think I have been illuminated by over the past, 3 months is Nicole's game. Nicole, like, I didn't have a lot of respect for her game coming into here. I really just thought that she kind of hung out with whatever guy was there. And this season, there was no guy. Like, and she still did it. And she came in with the whole, I won $500,000. And coming into the season, there were a lot of people who were like, I don't want a winner to win. And yet she still is one step away from having a shot to win this game. Like, it's not fun to watch and I didn't enjoy it. And like I said, I really, God bless the editors for trying to make her look as good as possible. But overall, I do think that if she owned her game more, it would make us feel better and then in turn make the show feel better.
Hey, I did enjoy it. She brought a lot in a season with a lot of duds. At least she gave us something to talk about every single week.
I mean, you predicted it. I remember during the draft, the reason why you drafted her was because you knew that she would do this thing where she'd kick and scratch and she would just, you would have to surgically remove her from this house in order for her to ever get evicted. And I think that we saw a lot of that gameplay. It was always like, no, we can't do this because if we do this and that screws me over and da da da. So it's been a lot of that. And like, look, I am really, really trying with Nicole. I really am. I am delving into the psyches of Nicole Stanzels. I go into Twitter. I go into the deep Reddits. I look at all of her supporters' arguments for why she should win. The biggest argument that I see repeatedly is always she had to do it this way. There was no, what other kind of game did you want Nicole, a winner that everybody always, that already didn't respect, to play? There was no other option. She had to play dead, or else if she put herself out there, it's like, oh, well, let's just get Nicole's butt up out of here. And I wholeheartedly get that. I really do. But it's also very hard for me to reconcile that with the pre-gaming that went on, because we know that it happened. Let's stop acting like it didn't happen. We know that it happened, and we know that it has ramifications in this game. And it's a big reason as to why the two people that are the most likely to win are going to be probably in the final two. So it's really hard for me to commend her for playing a game that was very similar to BB18. In a lot of ways, I feel like BB18 was so much more of a stronger performance than BB22. And then when you add on top of that, her sitting next to Cody, who's done considerably more and been more instrumental than he did in BB16, I'm just like, I get you, girl. I get it. I understand that you felt like you had to play this way. But at the same time, I don't know. I think that this was just not your season. I don't think that this was Nicole Franzel's season to win. I just don't see it.
Maggie, any thoughts on the Nicole montage?
Yeah, I mean, I saw Andy Heron tweeted this, and I think that he has an amazing point. He said, like, Nicole cut Ian because Cody wanted her to, and that's why Cody is a better player than Nicole. And I mean, I think there's something to that. If Nicole was playing the way that Nicole should have been playing, she should have been sitting at the end with Cody and Ian, or she should have been sitting at the end with Danny and Ian. Yeah. And like, if Nicole was a better player, if Nicole was the caliber player that Cody is, she would be in the position that Cody is. And Nicole's game is to whine her way to the end, which is the most annoying and frustrating game to watch, especially as like a woman who really wants to root for the woman to win. She like makes it kind of like, she makes it so difficult because you're like, girl, come on, like give us something, give us anything. But she is there. And, you know, just for the contrarian in me, and the team fun post show, it could be fun, but it's just very difficult. It's a really, really hard game to watch and get behind. And Aman, I agree with you. I've been trying to figure out what her fans are saying.
I'm really trying to see it from the preview, because they think the world of her game. They're like, you guys don't get it. She is the greatest of all time. She is so close to winning this. She will be, like, statistically, she'll be the greatest player to ever play. And I'm like, yeah, but I just, I'm having a hard time swallowing that. I really am.
But I just think she's such a fascinating person to watch. And I think that just because I think that a lot of times her motives are always so transparent. And I just think that as an observer, I enjoy watching her move throughout the game in terms of like, what is she going to come up with next? I look at her, she's like a Heisenberg to me, where it's just like, what is she going to do next? I think that she will say or do just about anything to stay alive in this game. And I think that the thing that really stood out to me, the biggest thing of the night, Brent, after she wins part one of that HOH, she says in the diary room, and tell me if you think that this is just producers feeding her a line or if there's some truth here. She says, and now the biggest thing for me is deciding who I'm going to take with me to the final two. This has been something that has been talked about a lot, about would she dare cut Cody. I feel like that when she sees just how close she could be to potentially up to drag Enzo to the end, she has a better shot to do it. Do you think that she could possibly cut Cody?
I mean, I want her to. I want her to think hard about it, but I do think that it's the producers playing games, unfortunately. I don't in my heart of hearts, I do not think that she's willing to cut Cody for Enzo, even though it would be a game-winning move. And then I think the jury would be 9-0. I really do. Even Davon, all of them would vote for Nicole in a heartbeat if she over cut Cody Enzo. There at the end. Over Enzo. Yes, if she cut Cody and, you know, backstabbed him right there at the final three and owned it in the jury and says, I had Cody eating out of the palm of my hand, and, you know, I stabbed him in the back.
Even Cody would vote for her over Enzo.
I mean, who doesn't matter, but like, you know, maybe 8-1.
I think Cody's a bad sport.
Yeah, he's a bad sport. Yeah, he's definitely a bad sport. But so maybe 8-1. But like, you know, the great part is for us, if you're someone who's rooting for that type of move, is she doesn't even have to own it to the jury. Just the fact that she does it will be enough for them to vote for her. So she doesn't even have to, like, she doesn't need Brent Waugh to possess her and be like, you know, ha ha, I did that, you bitches. Like, she doesn't need that. All she has to do is do it. If she does it, then she's going to win the money. But I do feel like that, you know, look, stranger things have happened to Big Brother. I remember Big Brother Canada 2, like John Party, like, was going to take Ned out all the way to the end until, like, you know, the day or two before. And then he started to think about it and realize that, you know, sitting next to Sabrina was not such a bad thing. Like, I'm hoping that she can realize that sitting next to the guy who won 7 competitions this year and is like an all around amiable, like, genuine guy is not the way to go. You need to take the wet blanket Enzo to the end to get the money.
Speaking only for myself, that Nicole cutting Cody and taking Enzo to the end, I think, is the best case scenario for finale night. Because just think of, like, all of the fallout after the fact. The Calafiore family will be at war with the Franzels. Oh. What will Derek say? Oh, it'll be so much great social media watching to happen after. Even if Nicole loses to Enzo, and then she'll be, if she loses to Enzo, then she'll be on Twitter whining about the bitter jury. Oh, just so much excitement.
Yes, that I'm really hoping that the producers, you know, because they have to do these diary rooms and they have to ask questions. I'm hoping that they're asking her questions in a way that really gets her thinking about, like, hey, if I win part three, I could do this.
Brent, they don't ask her questions. She asks them questions.
She gives out her chance. Yes.
Yes.
My thing about Nicole, and the reason that, you know, we always say that the best players are the type of players who know themselves and know the type of game that they can play to get to the end. And I think that Nicole knows herself to the umpth degree. Like, she could not play a Danny Donato game and get to the end. She could not play a Rachel Riley, Janelle Pierzina, Dan Giesling game. She has to play this whiny, annoying, you know, whatever it is, like angel of death to her, like alliance members game in order to get to the end. And she does what she has to do, you know,
I think that's
a sign that she's a good player.
Yeah. And I was going to say, is that like the struggle that we're having right now is that we haven't necessarily seen this type of archetype yet? Yes. Like, be this successful, because it was one thing for her to win BB18 and then we see her do it again in BB22 and get to the end. So is this like just like the this resistance that we're getting is because like we're not used to it yet, so we're like, no, that's not how this works. I don't want to see this kind of game win. But if it does win and we begin to see people start adopting this strategy, then we're going to be like, oh yeah, like they're playing Nicole's game, go on. Like
It happened with Andy on 15, right? We all hated Andy watching 15. And then postseason, we were like, oh my gosh, this rat floater thing is amazing. Like, I think that they, like, when players carve out the game that they know themselves personally can do, that's when they're a really, really great and successful player. And I think that unfortunately for us as the audience, this game that Nicole is playing is successful for her. And it's just torture to watch sometimes.
Yeah. I feel like for me, obviously, ultimately, it's exhausting to watch Nicole's method of play. It's exhausting.
Oh my God.
So if I'm to play, because I'm saying this from like the preseason, I was like, she's not my cup of tea. But if I put myself in her shoes, sizes are going to be way different. But if I put myself in her shoes, I can only imagine how exhausting it is to play this way. I feel like this is just so tiring. Like, you're constantly paranoid about everything down to these letters and what people are saying. And this person looked at me the wrong way. So it's like, if you're able to win twice using this exhaustive method, should I be getting up and clapping for you? Even though my whole thing is you don't own it. Even though my whole thing is if you were a villain, I would respect this so much more. I mean, if you do it, then I commend you, right? But I don't want to see it. But if I see it, I have to commend it. So I don't know. Again, ultimately, everything everyone said, the fact that the postseason would maybe even far exceed anything that the whole season has given us, maybe that's what I want. Ultimately, the jury has made it clear. I think everyone else has made it clear. The move is cut Cody. He's the bounty. Cut him. Get your check. That's how you're going to win if you're not Cody. And that's the move you have to make.
But either way, Puya, this is going to be really fun to watch, because that what we know about Nicole is that she is the victim in all things. So whether she wins or whether she loses, she will come away from this season as the victim. She still has to go through the fans were mean to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a good edit. I should have won. I won and I didn't get enough credit. Like, it's going to that there will be a list of complaints that will, I think, be very, you know, very fun social media for the off season. She gives us something. We are so starved for anything that we have to take what we can get from Nicole. All right. Still plenty more to recap from tonight's episode, but I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for tonight's episode of Rob as a Podcast. And those are our friends over at Beachbody On Demand. Now, Julie Chen Moonvest tells us to be still, exercise peace. Well, the problem is for some of us that we be still for too long. And I know for me personally, this time of year is very hard. First, you have Halloween that gets into Thanksgiving. There's a lot of candy. A lot of pumpkin pie around. It's a great time to get the jump on that New Year's resolution and make sure to maintain some healthy workout programs. And Beachbody On Demand makes it so easy, because you can access the complete catalog of Beachbody On Demand and all of the different programs that are available for you. Hundreds of effective workouts for all fitness levels, including bodybuilding, weight training, cardio, high intensity interval training, yoga, even dance workouts. And it's all available, and we've got a great offer for you where you can try a special free trial membership. Just text RHAP to 303030. You can try it out for free. Text RHAP to 303030. Beachbody On Demand, that's the company behind P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix. They've got some new programs like Muscle Burns Fat and 80 Day Obsession. They've got the greatest trainers as well, like Tony Horton, my favorite, Joel Freeman, and Autumn Calibres, that they have different workouts based on what you're looking for. What I like about all the different programs that I've tried over the years, Lift 4 is my favorite, is that you get a schedule and you know exactly what you're doing on which day. You can cross it off and feel good about what you did after you complete each workout. Plus, they've got nutrition plans as well to make sure that you're eating right, in addition to the Beachbody On Demand workout that you're doing. Workout in as short as 10 minutes that don't require any extra equipment, and you can access the programs anytime, anywhere, from computers, web-enabled TVs, tablets, smartphones, Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, and more. Enzo wishes that he would have been doing Beachbody On Demand instead of whatever the hell that he was doing at his house getting ready for this season. He wouldn't be out of gas right now if he was working on his 80-day obsession. So go ahead and get a special free trial membership. Text RHAP to 303030. You'll get full access to the entire platform, all the workouts, nutritional information, and support absolutely free. Just text RHAP to 303030. Let's talk about, look, this is not the only wonderful five-person panel that is going on tonight. We got to see the pre-jury have their Zoom meeting. Aman, what'd you think of the Zoom roundtable?
I mean, it was nice to see all of their faces again. I mean, we haven't seen Keisha in weeks, so I'm glad to know that she's still alive. And it was nice to see. It was nice to see Kaser and Janelle, obviously, Bailey and Nicole, and it was great. I mean, I feel like they were just retreading a lot of the same conversations that we've seen the jury have, we've been having, but it was nice. I mean, I don't know what this means. Does this mean that we're not going to get a lot of pre-jury content on the finale, and so they got it in now and to get them out of the way? I don't know. But I mean, it was nice to see them again.
Really?
That was my takeaway.
Yeah.
To me, it wasn't nice because, like, we didn't get anything out of them. Like, we was like them reading the phone book. Like, this was terrible. Like, we really got nothing out of them. It was the most antiseptic, boring recounting of what happened and how they're feeling, because you know that in her heart of hearts, Janelle had some things to say about Nicole and Cody. You know she did.
I mean, definitely. But I mean, if you want to see it, just go to her Instagram.
Yeah.
I know. Like,
what is she saying?
I would have just said it felt a little bit too CBS, perfect for me. Like, I wanted, like, to be like five friends sitting around a table, like, okay, let's talk real about this season. Like, what the heck happened? Yeah, like we're doing right now. Like, it would have been so much more fun, but I felt like it was too scripted. I felt like it was like, they were like telling people, okay, talk about this now. You know, say good things about Nicole, say bad things about Nicole. Like, they're trying to make it as balanced as possible, when you know that these five people do not feel that way. You know they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, and in that contract, they will say, Alison Grodner said, "You will say whatever I want you to say."
Yeah, this whole Zoom reunion to me was, hey, let's give the people that they've been craving this whole time. Let's shove them into one more episode and let's do it right before the finale, because we're trying to fill up this Monday. That's how it played out to me, because ultimately it wasn't as much as I wanted. They knew exactly where to put it, slotted in between the massive recap we got and right before this part one of HOH that we're going to drag out for like a 15 minutes. So it was the perfect spot to put it in. My biggest questions were, I couldn't tell if one of them was supposed to be hosting the shindig, because
I think Nicole Anthony was trying to host.
But then I felt like Bailey kept asking the questions. I couldn't tell. I'm like, wait, Nicole, are you the host or is Bailey the host? Like, what's going on here? But then Kaser was just the most quiet one, which, again, I wanted more of him. So I stay being sad that I don't see enough Kaser. But that's just me and Terrence's problem at this point.
Puya, what did you think of everybody's Zoom setups?
It was okay, right? It was fine. Nothing really jumped out to me. I wasn't loving it. I did like Bailey, like, clearly behind her, there's like this skyscraper scenario. I like that.
Yeah, they're getting great a lot view. Of mileage out of those windows.
Yeah.
I just thought that they all looked amazing. All of the makeup was Bailey, I think, is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my whole life. And I thought that they all looked great. And I thought their backgrounds were very representative of themselves. And it was nice to see them and give us something to talk about during the episode that was not Cody, Nicole, and Enzo, the great Cody, Nicole, and Enzo. So, that was my thoughts.
I do wish that they would have let Janelle go off just just a little bit more. Yeah, because you know that the fans want it. You know that it's obviously a storyline that you guys are interested in to a certain extent. So you might as well. I mean, it's not like Nicole can hear her at the time, you know.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, I feel like she did, right? It's not like she did. Mm-hmm. I know she did. They just edited around that. And I'm like, just give it to us. You know we want it. You know what we want. You know, your ad was always like, you know you want to watch. You know I want to watch that. Give it to me.
That's all. Exactly.
It's a 30-second clip. Just give it. Give me it. It's fine.
Yeah. Let me ask, do you think that Keisha had a Zoom background, or do you think she owns an extensive mask collection?
She owns those. She absolutely owns those.
I have questions.
Yes. What's going on there?
It's a collection. I don't know if it's like an antique collection, or it's just like I visited these places and bought an authentic mask from each place, or she inherited them. That I need to know.
She inherited them. Oh my God.
I don't know. There's just so many of them. Like, what's the story?
They were giving me very tribal council, like,
yeah.
Hey, Jeff Probst, whenever you guys figure your stuff out, call me.
Call Keisha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Puya, was this just me, or was Nicole Anthony's aspect ratio off?
I didn't understand it. It seemed very different than everyone else's. I don't know if it was the webcam. I don't know if it was the lighting. But I also did notice that, and I wasn't quite sure if I could put my finger on what exactly it was. But compared to everyone else, it did seem different.
Seemed a little off. I don't know. Yeah. That just was jumping out at me. But yeah. This was exciting to have them back, but, you know, very kind of an empty segment. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let me talk about part one of the HOH. Boy, Brent, what'd you think about a spooky graveyard?
Boy, I mean, again, talk about putting lipstick on a pig. This was ridiculous. Like, okay, like, let me just, like, say, the comp is the comp that we've been expecting all year long. It's them on those freaking discs going around. That's all there is. But they put so much art direction into it that it was like a whole production with them. Like,
yeah, what about those floating, like, ghost heads? Looks like
right?
Me right now.
This was Among Us for a second. I was like, God damn.
This would have been fun if it was.
This was an all-timer for me. I cannot believe they got these grown people to put on that makeup.
It's like the thriller video.
And pretend to be zombies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like really get into it too. Like, I'm like, Enzo is over 40 years old.
Yes.
And he is acting like a zombie for that CBS check, and I respect it so
no
much.
But I thought that was really perfect for Enzo, because his game has been Walking Dead since the triple eviction.
Mm-hmm. I love that one. I
if
love
only
that
you get the metaphor. Yeah, like I said, then putting in like zapping them in, you know, like magic style into the graves, and then getting up, and then, you know, I'm like, oh wow, they're actually gonna go through with this. Like, they're gonna walk like zombies. Like, this is funny. And then, like, they get over to I thought they were gonna stand on those discs and do something, and I'm like, oh no, they're too close together. And then I realized what it was, and I'm like, wait, like, this is all there is? The same thing that you, like, you've reused this, like, how many times?
Especially for the three of them? I feel like this comp is used a lot, like, when there's more people in there.
We thought it was going to be, like, final 10 or something. This is, like, I would have liked something more original, but whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a COVID season, so fine.
My favorite part of this whole side, because obviously, I feel like they're making up for the lack of, like, depth in these comps this season with the animated razzle-dazzle. It's, oh, let's edit in these ghosts. Let's edit in them getting into the grave. My favorite part was the tombstones. And I want to talk about specifically Nicole's tombstone was the best one. It was an in-joke. It said the destination funeral was amazing. I appreciated that.
Did they get her wedding?
There we go. That's right. And then Enzo said this cat. Yeah, Enzo said this cat ran out of lives. And then Cody said he treated every day like ab day, which I was like, that one was a mail in. It's fine.
Like, every day like ab day.
Yeah, I was like, okay. But no, the tombstones were great. I enjoyed them. Ultimately, is my biggest takeaway from this comp.
The stark contrast between how BBUS will set up their final three HOH versus how Big Brother Canada will set up. It's like a whole production over there. It's like, you know, they are shooting in widescreen. Mm. There's effects. There's like it's a production. And then over here, it's just like, smile and wave at the camera, honey.
Brent, did your charmed heart feel a little fulfilled with the witch's brew of it all, or was that just irritating you?
Yeah, that was
liked it.
Yeah, I mean, like, that was cool. Again, like, I liked all the special effects and things that they gave us. Like, I mean, it was a little, you know, hackneyed, but it was fun. Again, it was just the same old comp that I was expecting since the beginning. And so, like, that part really wasn't amazing to me. I just felt like if you had done all this art direction and all this interesting stuff and all this theme, it would have been nice to have an original competition. But say, Levy.
Maggie, who was this narrator also?
Right?
Maybe it was just to harken back to the B&B.
Also, Maggie, did you notice that the narrator, he rhymed? And then he like, it's like he got tired of rhyming. Like, then he just said, it's time for this to speed up. And I'm like, look, were you rhyming?
Look, the producers of CBS Comedians, they are not. Like, they hire, you know, the guy who always comes in, old BDJ, if you listen to the B&B, you'll understand. Like, that's a comedian that they hire to come in and do those bits, you know? Like, these producers, I don't think are, like, the most, obviously, based off of these tombstones and, like, these comics. Like, they're not, you know.
But, like, for real, this wasn't that hard, though. As a fan of Charmed, like, it's really not that hard to find a rhyming couplet, okay? It's not that hard. And, like, they had it for, like, the first two or three bits, and then after that, they were like, ah, to hell with it.
Exactly. I mean,
he must get paid by the joke or paid by the rhyme, and they just ran out of funding, so he just mailed it in at that point.
I mean, what can you expect, right? Like, I'm sure it's Julie Chen writing the jokes, so, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if she put all her energy into writing her closing proverbs for the show this season, they couldn't do both. Speaking of mailing it in, Puya, what do you think about Enzo's performance
in this comp? Struggle. Yeah. From the minute we saw what the comp was, I was like, yeah, this is you know, TOD on Enzo on this. There's no way he's going to get through this. Because, like, there's not one. So here's the thing, the big revelation, right? Not one bumpy item, two bumpy items. You had the moon, and then you had the haunted mansion in the background. Yeah. And this was just not Enzo's comp. The discs were significantly tiny. This was just going to be a struggle bus for him from the jump. So the fact that he even got, what was it, about 17 minutes? Good for him, because I don't think I could have ventured 17 minutes on this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, like, honestly, like, if I did this competition, I'd probably last like a minute, maybe two. Like, this is tough. Like, if you got any weight on you whatsoever, you're going to go down. Unless you got, like, arm strength like Cody has. And as someone who's currently shaped like a pear, like, I don't think I do very good. And Enzo, like, God bless him for lasting as long as he did, because, wow, like, I mean, 17 minutes on that freaking thing is a big deal. And those discs, as Puya said, were tiny. And, like, every time, like, you went over that moon, it did seem like it really, like, it was so hard to stay on the disc, because, like, the moon would catch the ridge of the disc and, like, try to get you off the disc, which is what I think happened to them a few times. God bless Nicole, who I guess we'll talk about, but, like, she was phenomenal. I was wondering when somebody was going to figure out, like, if you lean forward, like, you can basically miss the moon and you're not spinning around as much. But Enzo, like, 17 minutes, that was a victory in and of itself.
They really seem like they just wanted that comp to be over, the producers, because that comp, the obstacle that's in the way is always has a little bit of give to it. Like, you might smack into it, but it'll move with you. That moon was like, no, this is my spot.
Hard.
Leave me alone.
Also, like, scraped your feet off of the disc. Yeah. And also, I would do really poorly at this comp, Brent, but for a different reason, because I am so motion sick. So any sort of spin, I could not spin for 17 minutes.
Yeah, Enzo, like,
there would be no way at all that I could last even like a slow spin. I can't last on a swing, let alone like a spinning disc for 17 minutes. No way. That's not happening.
Yeah.
After Enzo was knocked off, he talked about how he was rooting for Cody. He said,
"The root."
Yes, the root. He said that he needed Cody to shoot himself a par three. I'm not a golfer. Does anybody understand what Enzo's trying to say there?
Nope.
Does anyone ever understand what Enzo's trying to say? Ever? Like,
No. He's trying to shoot himself to part three. Part.
Part three.
Part three.
I thought he was talking about golf.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Part three.
No, he needs to shoot himself to part three. Yes, that's what he said. Yes.
Oh,
right. I'm gonna take that, Rob, and I'm gonna make it a thing. We'll make it happen.
Shoot himself a part three.
Yeah, yeah. What does it mean, Puya? So we know how to use it.
I mean, damn, if you're shooting yourself a par three.
That's pretty good. A par three. Yeah. Yeah, I guess maybe if you shoot yourself a par three, I think that you did exactly what you were supposed to do. That you were supposed to hit par. You hit par three. You didn't birdie. You didn't get a hole in one. You didn't go over. You did exactly what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
That's it. That's your shoot.
Look at a thing.
Shoot yourself a par three.
That's it.
Amon, did you catch at the end of the show that Cody talked about his problem was that he kept hitting his butt on the moon?
No, I missed that. I must have like blacked out for the end of it. But I mean, it doesn't surprise me. That moon, like I said, it's hard.
It's a full moon.
Which moon? Yeah. Which moon?
Immovable.
Yeah.
Come on.
It took a lot out.
I was like, I didn't, it just didn't. Okay.
Yeah. We know, honey. We know.
Brent, but it was Nicole, the tenacity.
Yes. Yes. It was, you know what? God bless her. You know what? I like it the fact that I became Italian for a second. I like the fact that Enzo and Cody were annoyed that Nicole won. I mean, I don't know if Cody's really annoyed because he knows that Nicole's probably going to take him to the end, but Cody's got to be nervous that, like, again, if these people were thinking with their heads on straight, they would evict Cody. And if I'm Cody, I have to win the final part three. Like, I have to get to the end, and the fact that he lost part one, he's only got one shot. He's got to beat Enzo in part two in order to have a shot to win part three, and if not, then he's got to be nervous sitting there in those two nomination chairs and watching someone pass judgment on whether or not he gets to the end or not. That's got to be terrifying for him to play the game this perfect and then lose all ability to control everything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I you know, honestly, yeah, and I think the whole thing is having to be in a position where your back's against the wall, never great, especially when you're so close to the finish line. And we lost Rob for a second. We'll see if his power generator comes back on. Maybe
he
not.
He said he had 88 minutes. Has it been 88 minutes yet?
It's been 58. We're 30 short. Shot himself a par three, but it's okay.
Rob's been laughing my joke. I knew that something was wrong.
Yeah, he just froze there. No, I do think that ultimately with Cody, you know, even at the worst case, it's like, well, he's facing Enzo. So it's kind of like playing bowling with the sides up. So it's not going to, like, you're not going to get a gutter ball here. You're okay. But even that 5% worry that'll come in for him is not a great position for him.
Yeah.
Especially when I think he thought he had part one. Nicole had said, I will give you part one. All the signs led to him winning part one. To lose probably stung at least a little bit.
Yeah. I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, well, listen, I was thinking when this happened, I was like, damn, I never anticipated that Nicole might win part one. Like, I always thought, like, Cody would win part one. Because I remember Enzo did really good in the endurance competition in his original season. Like, he was up there on those things with Hayden and Lane for a while, right? On the vines. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it could be either one of them. I never really anticipated Nicole winning. So then Nicole winning, I'm starting to think ahead. Like, okay, Nicole won part one. If Enzo wins part two, then, like, they start talking to each other, then maybe we're in business, because who knows what the hell, like, they're going to do if Cody's not even in the equation for winning part three. But we don't know the results of part two yet.
That's right. That's
I just can't imagine, like, being a Cody, like, being a grown person and being like, okay, fine, I'll put on this makeup and do this zombie thing because I'm gonna win, and then not winning and being like, I just made such a fool of myself and I didn't even win,
right?
Yeah. And like, ultimately, here's the thing I will say about Nicole. She wins it. She fully embraces that victory. She jumps into this green goo,
The
snow angel. I appreciate the passion she has for this game, even if I don't appreciate the route she takes to get to that passion, whatever. But I did enjoy seeing that bit, and I feel like we wouldn't have seen that from a Cody. We wouldn't have seen that from a Enzo. So at least that's a good thing to see. Oh, yeah. We have Rob back. Rob, how you holding up?
Yeah. He is risen.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think that to add my list of problems, that I think that the internet has now gone out at my house.
Oh, God.
That, I look, I'm just,
this is like Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation.
I'm trying, but somebody does not want me to shoot a par three tonight.
Those ghosts are not on your side, Rob.
But
they're,
yeah,
haunting,
please,
you.
Please, Puya, can you continue? Let me. I'll hang in there. But please continue.
You got it. I mean, ultimately, we just talked about Nicole's whole celebration at the very end, getting into the green goo, doing herself a snow angel. And then that's kind of where they left us with, you know, Julie comes back in, says, hey, come back Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Everything will go down there. And then she hits us with the line. Her, you know, she's been doing this all season, leaving us with a line. And to me, I didn't quite get it at first. Brent, be still and exercise peace. Is she portmanteauing two different sayings into one, or is this an actual thing that is said?
I missed it. Like, I have to remember from now on to stay tuned in until, like, you know, 8:59, because usually, like, at 8:55, I'm like, I'm gone, ready to get upstairs and, like, you know, do my hair for the show or something. But, like, I didn't realize she did it, but God bless her. She's trying, like, Puya, she's trying a new riff. That's what she's doing. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
I think it is some sort of like biblical reference, because I feel like I remember reading that in the Bible at some point, like peace be still or something like that. I don't know, but whatever floats.
You don't know.
So my parents don't watch Big Brother, and during quarantine, I was back at my parents' house for a bit, and I was watching Big Brother 3 for the first time in preparation for the season, because I thought Danielle Reyes might be on. And my dad was like in and out watching it, and he had never seen it. And he saw Julie Chen, and she was doing the exit interview, like one of the exit interviews of Big Brother 3. And my dad was like, why is she acting like it's 60 minutes? Like, I'm confused. Isn't this a reality show? And I was like, it's just Julie Chen. You'll just have to get used to it. And, you know, here we are at Big Brother 22, and it's managed to get even more Julie Chen than it was back then. So, you know. God bless her, like you said, Brent.
Right? God bless her is right. Yes. By the way, the chat is telling me, and I do know this because my dad's a preacher, and like I have all this in the back of my head so somewhere, right? The actual Bible quote is, be still and know I am God. But she changed it to be still and know peace. Or what did she say?
Exercise peace.
Okay, yeah. But yeah, she's definitely mixing metaphors on that one.
That's what I'm saying.
She loves Christmas, right?
Yeah. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Halloween, jingle.
She loves God.
In the words of Enzo, anytime Julie signs off with these, I'm confused and I'm left.
That is the question that I ask myself every day.
What do you
mean? You got a soundboard?
You know what I'm here prepared.
You have a soundboard? I had no idea. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're ready.
Wow.
I mean, ultimately, is there anything anyone else wants to say about this recap times 4 episode before we maybe dive into some questions?
I'd like to dive into questions, unless anybody has something to say.
Yeah, no, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
All right. We good. And there we go. On cue, Scott's got the questions pulled up for us. Let's see. What's the first question?
I cannot read it.
Why all this hate on this season? A big alliance forms, bracket made up of those that were successful last time they played, runs the game, eliminates our favorite all-stars who by and large lost early last time. Kind of predictable, .. So why the hate? Brent, would you like to field this one for the squad?
Why the hate? Because it's all-stars, baby. Because the last time we got an all-stars, it was so amazing with different power struggles, people going back and forth, people realizing that there were, you know, bigger groups of people over here, so they flipped to over here. Like, Dr. Will and Boogie ran that season. Obviously, Janelle, Danielle Reyes, like, they all had a part to play in that season. But it was all about watching people, all trying to win the money, all trying to put themselves in the best position possible to get to the end. Whereas this time, it was just like one big group marches to the end, and even though all of them realized Cody is a fanatical like threat to win the game, they did nothing to take him out. Like, at least Dr. Will and Boogie realized that Daniel Reyes and Janelle were formidable presence that they had to get rid of at some point if they wanted to get to the end. But no one did. Like, no one ever realized that Cody was the threat to win the game. And here he is at the end with two people who ostensibly will take him to the end of the game, which is incredibly frustrating to people like us who know that if either one of these people, listening to the jury, if either one of these people cut Cody and got to the end, they would win the game. Like, it would literally be a game-winning move for either Nicole or Enzo to cut Cody here at the end. But it doesn't look like they're going to do it. So that's why when you see, like, we had all of these, like, things that we were thinking about, like, what an All-Stars could be. And, like, you know, we wanted, like, different people to work, you know, goddesses to work with goddesses. And we wanted them to all, like, you know, come together. And it just was like, the most vanilla people came together and ran the season. How, like, how yeah. can we not be frustrated by that?
Yeah, I feel like the answer is in the question. Like, I mean, and I feel like there's like this, I see a bit of this opinion in the fandom a lot of the time where a lot of people only want to root for people that are good at the game. And like, and I understand like what that does for your mental health, because like you're able to sort of like feel confident that your fave is always going to be able to pull it out in the end. But I think, I mean, there are other people that watch the show because they like to see people that are underdogs. They like to see people that didn't get a fair shot the first time, or not necessarily fair, but didn't get a good shot the first time, and have them take another swing at it. That's why it's frustrating to see those people go the way of the dinosaurs so early in the game, because it's like, okay, well, then what was the point of bringing them back if people were just going to formulate this big alliance and just push all of them out? So, yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, it's great gameplay, good for them, but it's not good TV. And that's right, just, like, that's just the age-old battle.
Jessica in the chat is saying, you know, at one lucky game, the fact that neither one of them will cut Cody gives credence to why Cody should win the game hands down. Honey, I don't disagree. We're talking about like why there's hate for this season overall, and the arc and the narrative. Like, I'm not saying anything about Cody and his ability, or, you know, whether or not he should win the game. Obviously, that's true. He's played an immaculate mm-hmm. game. But as far as like my entertainment and my popcorn, I want that paid for, and it hasn't been. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think with All Stars, we were promised tiramisu and we ended up with vanilla ice cream. And it's not bad, mm-hmm. right? Like, I'm not like mad at my vanilla ice cream, but I was like, oh, I thought I was going to get like cake? An awesome special dessert. Yeah.
Does you anybody know? Want cake? Yes, we want cake. Yes. God damn it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think, honestly, and that's, you've all said exactly what I've been thinking as well, where a sequel typically is not liked as much as the original, especially when the original was so amazing. But every good story will have ups and downs, highs and lows, lefts and rights. And when it's kind of the one note all the way through, you're not going to be leaving it with that good taste in your mouth. You're not going to be leaving that with like, that's what I wanted. It's pizza, but damn, last time I was here, that pizza had hips. Like, this pizza is not the same. So ultimately, yeah, it's like, you know.
Anybody want cake?
Yes, we wanted cake. Okay, we wanted cake. We didn't get cake. All right. What's the next question here? BB Janie says, how did the conversation go to convince the house guests to do the zombie bit? What were the stage directions? Maggie, I think it's only appropriate that you field this one for us here, right now.
Yes.
Well, queen. You know, my thing is, I was also really impressed with their zombie makeup. Which clearly they did themselves. So I imagine that one of them, because Enzo's was just flat gray. Nicole's was, you know, like blocks, and Cody's is like very nicely blended, you know, like, which
he's
I think
been in perhaps, a makeup chair before.
Yeah. You know, like he knows a bit what he's doing. He had a beauty blender like ready to go. Yeah. So I think that they were like, okay, do zombie makeup. And then they all, you know, got into their zombie thing. And I'm guessing that they got over the large speaker and they were like, okay, we have this awesome idea. Are you guys ready for it? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, okay, so you're going to lay in the grave like you're dead, and then you're gonna awaken like a zombie. And they were all like, okay, well, but then what? Like, how is it gonna get cool? And they're like, then you're gonna get up and walk like a zombie over to your place where you start. And I think that they probably just all convinced themselves, you know, they were like, we got 40K to walk in. Let's just go for
like,
it.
Let's be real. Like, they're bored as hell. Like, they're literally doing nothing. It's gone to the point where I don't even watch the feeds because they're so freaking bored. So I'm sure that they were thrilled to do this. And you know what? I bet they did it more than once. I'll bet they did it once for real. I bet they did it once as practice. And they said, okay, that's good. And then they did it like probably two more times where they wanted to get different takes of them, like, you know, making the zombie moves so that they could edit it all together and give us something amazing. I think that's the way it went down.
I am going to be the best damn undead bitch you have ever seen because I am trying to get every single appearance on The Young and the Restless or whatever the hell that show is that they be on afterwards.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get that CBS check. I'm trying to get that Mr. Spectacular money, okay?
Exactly. Yes. And Cody, like, you know, Cody really showed off. An actor, he is. You know, he was.
Do you know how good this is for his reel?
Oh, yeah. Right? The whole season. He's been able to give us little bits and bobs with all the acting. So he's definitely probably very happy to have been making it this far to, if not just bump up that video resume.
And for Nicole, she knows it's airtime, that it's like a punishment costume. So I'm sure they didn't have to convince her.
Right.
I do think that they were just perhaps a bit like too into it. Like, I wish that there could have been like a bit of giggles or like messing around, you know, just to be like, I'm self-aware that this is ridiculous. But instead, they just went full zombie as though it was an Academy Award winning film, which like I also appreciate, you know?
Yeah, I think ultimately my only qualm is they did so good for those 5 seconds that when they immediately broke character in the next frame, I'm like, wait,
yeah, right?
Like, where's the shaking?
I agree. Yeah.
So it was too clinical is what I'm saying. A little more scuffed would have been better. But yeah, we move. We move to the next question here from Cupcakes. Hello, Cupcakes. Do you think Cody was emphasizing the success of his big alliance too much in his pitch instead of his ability to control the alliance? I mean, Aman, you talked about the whole, the strategy, the control, the different volume settings for that. So what do you think of all this? Was Cody doing too much in the emphasizing?
I don't think so. I mean, I think he was, like Brent touched on it before. I feel like he was able to exercise control whenever he needed to. And they were always in control. I feel like you really couldn't divorce the two, which is why I was like, there is a distinction between the strategy, like, were there specific moves that needed to be made a lot of the time for you to get to the end? Or was it just a simple matter of keep winning the competitions, keep yourself safe, and continue forward? So I don't feel like he emphasized too much. I just feel like that was his game. Being a part of the committee was his game, with a few, you know, key things, you know, keystrokes here and there with the whole Ian thing. But I think that was it. That was Cody's game. Win those comms, keep yourself safe. Whenever you don't win, they win. Keep yourself safe. Make it here to the end.
Yeah. Rob, do you have any takes on this?
No, that's pretty much the Cody game.
It's open shut, I feel like.
I don't have any sprinkles to put on the vanilla ice cream. It is what it is.
And I know you don't like that phrase, Brent, but it's a lot of it is what it is with this season coming here at the stretch. So
yeah, sorry.
Yeah. On that note, let's go to the next question then. How about that? Donna out here saying, what has to be done to eliminate big alliances and actually make it fun to watch? And what previous winner would you want to be a two-time winner? These are two questions here. Brent, take us the direction. What's the formula here that would maybe help eliminate this big alliance thing, which I do think is a big part of this last era of the last, like, maybe, what, 5-6 seasons, perhaps? What do you think needs to happen?
So I do think that the show has moved toward casting more beta players, and I think that they should cast more alpha players. I've talked about this before. They need more people who are more selfish, who are more self-absorbed, and who really just want to like enjoy the show. Because if you're there for the show and you really want to have a good time, you really don't care so much about making the perfect move every time and, you know, making sure you're in the exact position that you need to be and being paranoid as possible. Like, that's no fun to watch. They need to have more nutcases in the house like us who like would all like just go in there and having an absolute blast and who aren't afraid to get into a fight. Like, I do think that that's part of it. Like, the Janelle that we got this time, as much as I love Janie, like, I wanted her to rip Nicole a new one, and she never really did. I wanted her to just rip Nicole a new one and at least give us some good TV, and she never really did that. And I'm kind of mad about it.
If she had another week or two in the house, she would have. If she won an HOH, I think that there would have been.
No, because I think then she's like, okay, now I got my foot in the door of the game, and now I can, like, make some real moves. I can create some real alliances because I have some real power. Like, I don't think she ever would have done what she did, you know, 15 years ago. We would never have gotten another Bye Bye Bitches from Janie because she's too much of an adult now to do it. I think that in BB23, they need to cast more people who are just more nutcases, more people who are more alpha, more people who don't give an F. Now, of course, the thing is, like, those people are also a little harder to control. So I don't know if Big Brother really wants those kind of people on the show. Like, are those people going to play ball and do what they need to do? I feel like they would be, but they need to cast more people like that. Also, the fact that these competitions in the beginning, like that one competition that they had at the beginning, like, let's go back and remember, all of the women had the harder path to take. All of the men had the easier path to take. I'm talking about the HOH number one. And the fact that, you know, you're jumping across these, you know, moving discs, and Cody got to do that. Like, you know, of course, like, the most athletic guy is going to win that most of the time. And being the first HOH, we've seen
the springs were shaking when he went.
I remember. Yes. I know. He knew which ones were shaking and which ones were not. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, gosh, like they need to put in more random competition so that these people can't control who's going to win HOH. You know, again, it needs to be said, like, I think that some of the competitions were good this season. We did have a few rando competitions that would have given us, and we just got a little unlucky. Like the whole bottles competition, you know, was like pushing the balls down. We were 1 point away from an interesting HOH that week, and a few other competitions along the way. But we need more competitions like that, less more like the athletic ones in the beginning. Like, I don't need to see another spinning competition. I don't need to see another wall competition. I'm sorry. We don't need those anymore. Not for what we're looking for.
And just, yeah, like, I think that you just hit that on the head when you just said we just need people to be more selfish. Cause I think that people just get into these big alliances and they think that that's going to take them to the game because it does. And I want somebody that's going to get into the big alliance and be like, you know what? This is only going to take me so far. What if I made my other big alliance with this group of people? And then somebody in that alliance is like, well, let me make a big alliance with this. I just feel like there need to be more moving parts.
There's
right
now
there are just so many people.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Like the big, like a lot of people have been saying, and I said this from the get-go, that having Josh and Casey on this season would have made such a tremendous difference. I feel like putting the wet blanket that is Keisha, and I love Keisha. I love Keisha, but guys, she did nothing week one. She did absolutely nothing to save herself. It was the easiest week. It was the easiest HOH for Cody because there was no opposition whatsoever. And then put Memphis in there and him creating the committee. Like, imagine a season where Memphis and Keisha are not there and it's the wild card that is Josh Martinez.
Yeah.
And then Casey.
Mm. I mean, Josh happened to keep Josh Tyler from being down in the dumps also.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, Josh, I'm with you on Josh. I don't know about Casey, but I'm with you on Josh. Josh would have added such an interesting combustible part to this season that was just lacking. It really was. I would have loved to seen a few blowups along the way. And Melissa and I talked about this on the roundtable one time. We were comparing this season to 19, and I'm like, you know what? At least 19 had fights. At least people were getting into it. At least people were like gunning for the end because they realized they were in a bad position and they were pissed about it. They need more people who take more risks. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what you need to do a personality test to test these people to see who's going to take risks and who doesn't. Because the people that you're casting right now, they're all scared to play. That meaning like they get into a big alliance and then they're like, okay, I'm good. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think so real quick, before we go to the next question, if I may, I have a panel here. I would like to give you a fitting of clothing. Let me know if it fits. Let me know what you think about it. So Brent, you're talking about it extensively, the scaredy cat factor, the fact that everyone's too afraid. There's a lot of beta people in the house. Let's say that they don't change the mold because they haven't proven to be those people. Let's say the one change they do, is this a thing that they could do? I've been thinking about this. What if they make it anonymous voting? They don't announce by a vote of blah, blah, blah. If they remove that, do you think that could change it? Or do you think, unless they change the people in the house, the mold in the house, it's always going to end up with the same thing? So if they don't say by a vote of 9-2 and then that ostracizes the two people, do you think that's something that might help us?
Like, you don't want to end up on, like, you don't want to be the 4 in a 5-4 vote, you know?
Right, so, exactly.
So you'd be more willing to try it because if it doesn't work, then nobody knows. But if it succeeds, it's like, yeah, like they do this over on Sequester. They do this, and I do think that it creates more volatile aspect to the game where people are more willing to do things outside the norm because they know they aren't going to be held accountable for their votes in the end. Like that would be something that I would be in favor of. But on the other hand, like I can hear the argument right away. Like, well, like, but we've gotten so much, you know, angst and, you know, so many like disagreements over the years from people who, like, you know, there was that one hinky vote or the two pink. I don't give a hell about hinky votes anymore. I want people to play for the end of the show, to play for the money. I don't need this, like, you know, hinky vote like nonsense along the way. I do think that is, I'll try it on for size, Puya. Yeah.
Okay. And real quick, the second part of that question, Rob, I'm going to go to you only, so you're the one shot here. Who would you have liked to see as a two-time winner if Nicole's off the table? Who would
Dr. Will.
Easy answer. I think it would have been...
Whether it's in Speedos or briefs, whatever it is, let's see the laminated one win as a second time.
Right. Exactly.
All right.
That'd be great.
Perfect. Okay. Next question here. We have got, let's see, who played a more dominant game, Paul in 19 or Cody in 22? I want to give this is up for grabs. Which one of you would like to answer this one? Maggie, would you like to give this a shot? Rob wants to give it a shot. What you got, Rob?
Yeah, Paul played a much more dominant game in Big Brother 19. That everything was what Paul wanted. Like, you know, Cody, I think, was more of a passive leader in terms of like what his group wanted. But mm-hmm. Paul ran Big Brother 19 with an iron fist.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like I was saying before, like, at least let the dictator of the season be like someone who makes us feel something other than mm-hmm. meh. And Paul, I mean, I rewatched that competition where Christmas won, that foot race. That was masterful. Oh. Like, that is insane that that happened. And I know everybody rolls their eyes, but if you watch that in a vacuum, if you just watch the clip, it's like, how on earth did this happen? And I don't think Cody could have pulled
foot competition.
I don't think Cody could have pulled that off. And you can blame the cast, you can blame whatever, but also just like dominant player wise, I think Paul was superior. I agree.
Yeah. Rob. And I think that, you know, Cody's approach has been a little bit of a one for them, one for me. Think back to that week mm-hmm. where he lets Janelle leave. If he really wanted to, he could have forced the caser. He didn't let that. Like, he wanted
and Paul would have
anything. Exactly. And Paul mm-hmm. would have been like, you know what? No, this is the one we need gone. This is who's going. So I do think that if we're looking like one or two examples like that, it's an easy decision for me that Paul would have been the more dominant one in this debate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We got another question here. We're going to answer it. Let's go. Got it from Ryan. And Ryan says, let's see, not much to talk about, so can we do a quick ranking? Oh, Ryan, you don't know what we talk a lot, but we got you. Let's see. Ranking these returning games. Dr. Will season 7, Jordan on 13, Dan on 14, Nicole on 22. And then if Nicole wins, does that change your rankings? Brent, do you have a quick ranking here?
Oh, wow. I think Dan clearly is at the top of my list. Then Dr. Mm-hmm. Will would be second. Nicole would be number 3 and Jordan would be number 4.
You know, I just had a thought, and you can all tell me if I'm totally wrong. Jordan is a similar player to Enzo, I think, in the way that socially, why would you ever get rid of this person? Lovely to have around. So fun. But like, Jordan played the one season where she could have won. And like, you know, Enzo, if he ends up in the final three almost every time, can always stumble into a win, you know, one or two times. And I think Jordan is very similar in that way, except Jordan obviously got into like crazier fights. But, you know, she was, you know, less, yeah. She was sort of useless in the comps the way that Enzo has turned out to be fairly useless in the comps. And like, I don't know.
No, I think that's pretty apropos. I think that they both were very just. A lot of people just enjoyed having them around for whatever reason. And it really just, it inspires you to take them as long as you can. So, yeah, I mean, I think that they definitely have that in common. Definitely.
And people think of both of them as non-threatening dum-dums. And so you're not really mm-hmm. worried about them at, mm-hmm, you know, winning out or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't go against the grain. They're not problematic for your side of things. It's an easy, especially with maybe with an Enzo, there's a little more conversation there. Not so much this last bit, but that's fine. But yeah,
he's out of gas. There.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. What does Tiffany want us to answer? Is running a full 7-day week really good TV anymore? In a world of binge watching, maybe weeks should be every 4 days. Fast forward the season a little bit, at least at the halfway point where there are less people. Put pressure on them to play. Less time creates hasty choices equals fun feeds. Team, I'm not going to. Can someone interpret this for me? I'm not sure I understand.
I think that she's saying that they want the cycles, the eviction cycles, to be quicker.
Oh, to like, not be 7 days.
It's like a celebrity mm-hmm. edition mm-hmm. or maybe like a somewhere in between a celebrity edition and mm-hmm. Something else, you know, where I'm for that. Like, I would love for them to do a season in the winter where they, you know, bring back a cast of people or maybe new people or maybe celebrities. I don't care who they bring back, but have a 4-week mm-hmm. show, 5-week show, you know, an eviction every 3 to 4 days, something like that. The celebrity seasons have been freaking fantastic, you guys. Oh, yeah. Like, they've been so good, and those people are nuts. Like, people ask, like, what's wrong with Big Brother? I'm like, have you seen the celebrity seasons lately? Like, there's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with Big Brother. It's the people they cast.
Yeah, for me, it's like, yeah, just it all comes down to who you put in that house. I don't think that there's anything wrong with Big Brother. I think there are a lot of people. I think I saw a question earlier tonight about someone asked about, you know, is like what? Maybe it's maybe they should be hiding. Maybe it's the live feeds of the problem. Maybe the fact that, like, because I enjoy Survivor so much more, and I enjoy things like that that are a little bit pre-edited, Amazing Race, so much more than I enjoy Big Brother. And I'm like, well, that's just saying you don't like apples because you don't like apples. You know what I mean? I think what draws people to Big Brother is the live nature of it, the live feeds, being able to see the game happen in real time, seeing it, being able to see people make connections and break connections in real time. I just think as long as you have a dynamic group of individuals in the house, you're going to get a good season. And sometimes you get a shit season. We got two bad, crappy seasons in a row, and it just is what it is. And I guess we just got to move forward. But I think it has all to do with who you put in there. And sometimes, yeah, some of the twists, maybe you take some of those out, you flip them around, you dust them off, you refurbish them, you try some new things. You just got to be willing to play ball. I just feel like they are using the same formula over and over again, and it's getting stale. It's 2020.
Also, it has to be said, I'm astounded that we had an all-star season on Big Brother and we never had an America's Vote. Like, I'm just astounded by that. Like, how do you have an all-star season and you don't have America the ability to weigh in one time? Like,
what kind of weigh-in would you want? But like a food weigh-in or like a power weigh-in?
Power weigh-in.
I want to send somebody home.
Why can't America be HOH for a week? You know, I'm sorry. Like that would have given us some interesting nominees. I think it would have probably been Nicole and Cody. I don't know if Cody would have got the second vote. I mean, people don't hate.
And they better not. And they better not say nothing about that. If Nicole were to go on the block as for America's HOH, I don't want her complaining and construction, because if you are lucky that you are on the show to begin with, you're getting paid.
Yeah,
40K, that's more than people make in a year. To spend 2 months in a house during a national pandemic and America decides to send you home because we're tired. I don't want to hear no complaining. I don't want to hear it.
No
I don't
way,
hear
I'm it. On. I would have loved I'm that. Not doing that. We're not doing America's Player. I shot that down. You can't make me.
Oh, God.
No freaking way.
All right. And we've got last question here. Last question. And it's from Kelly. She says, fantastic panel, and I need this panel to help me through this two-hour episode. Oh, it was only 1 hour? Maggie, Loki, I'm not gonna lie to you. When we got through the three-person revisions of the season, and I looked at the time at commercial, and it was 8:30, I was like, hold up, there's still another half the show to go?
Yeah.
How was this for you, especially because, Maggie, please tell us. I know that your story tonight was of a hill and valley of its own on how you
got
here.
So I, it's 8:00. I gather my things. I go to my living room, go to turn on my CBS All Access. It's not working. I was like, okay, well, I'm about to be on a podcast, so I need to figure this out. I'm like, maybe it's just the account I'm using because I share an account with my friend. So I was like, maybe I will just, create like a free account tonight. The entire website is down. Mm-hmm. I frantically call my father, who does not watch Big Brother, and was like, can you please turn Big Brother on your television and flip it around and FaceTime me? And my father, who I think answered my call on his Apple Watch, then turned his Apple Watch to try and show the television. So I watched the first, I want to say, 20 minutes before Puya came in clutch and sent me some help to be able to watch it on my computer. I watched 20 minutes through my father's Apple Watch. So as though the first half of the episode wasn't torture enough, that was my situation. So, yeah, I mean, I was like, what is going, like, why are we watching these same clips over and over and over again? Why do I have to hear Nicole Franzel talk about how painful it was to evict Ian and like Enzo talk about his social game? Yo, like, I just am over it because there's been nothing to show for the past 2 weeks. So we've already seen this stuff. Like, I remember when they did this last season, we were really excited about it. We were super into it because we were like, oh, this is actually cool. This is new and fresh. And the problem is, like, it would have been fine if they had stuff to show because, last season we had an epic Final Five and Final Four and like we were really anxious about things. And this season has just been a snooze fest. So I feel like we've already recycled all this.
Sorry to repeat myself, but we're paying the invoice on that triple eviction. If they don't have that triple eviction, then things work out like they normally do, where they have like a Final Five, then they wake them up early and evict somebody early. Then Final Four takes place over 2 days and we get to Final Three. And then like it's like a 5 day sprint to the finish. But instead, it's been over the last 3 weeks instead of like a week. And that's why we feel so bored right now. By the way, Kelly, I have good news for you. Even though tonight wasn't an hour, the finale is 2 hours. So it's normally an hour and a half. It's 2 hours this year. So if you felt like it was 2 hours, we got you covered on Wednesday.
Yeah. And in true fashion, tonight's theme, double, double, toil and trouble. BB22 watching can be a struggle, okay? And we just have to get through it together.
See, it's not that hard, big brother. It's not that hard. It's a rhyming couplet.
All right. So we didn't really talk about this. This is like a very minimized spoiler moment. Do not have the sound up. We will improvise. However, if you're about to get out of here, we will be back on Wednesday to talk all about the finale. Rob is here at the moment. Rob will not be there for the finale recap. The reason being, Rob will be doing... Well, Rob, you can tell us where you're going to be at.
Yeah, so this has changed a little bit. So the last I heard that we're going to have exit press with the final three and America's favorite player, assuming America's favorite player is not one of the final three. Spoiler alert, I don't think America's favorite player is and I'm going to be doing those interviews with Taryn on Wednesday night, and so that is what the schedule is going to be. So we're going to be in good hands on finale night, because we're going to have another great panel for you on Wednesday.
Very excited for that panel. Should be a good time. So
and Puya is going to be once again. This was a good rehearsal tonight, Puya, because you'll be leading our finale coverage on Wednesday.
It's an honor, honestly. I did not think you have big shoes, sir, and to be able to fill them for one night, now two nights, you know, sometimes two nights ahead. It's an honor. I'm happy to do it. I'm excited, and we will be talking all about that with Brent and Melissa and Chantel, I believe. So it should be a jam-packed night.
A great panel.
Should be a good time. I'm very excited. I'll be around, 11:15 Eastern. Once the finale's over, you can come over here and you know the chat room. Let's get it going. We'll be ready. We'll be talking about all this live. Now, how about we talk about... Oh, no, spoiler. I nearly forgot in the middle of all this. So if you're leaving, take care. Have a good one. Keep an eye on the hashtag RHAP for any other stuff coming along. Down here, watch the updates with Taryn. He's going to be going through the player profiles. He did Cody this morning. He will be doing Nicole and Enzo following. So that's all well and good. Now we talk spoilers real quick.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay, so.
Spoiler.
There we go. We got one spoiler in the chamber. And Aman, why don't you break that news for us? What's that one spoiler we have?
Are we talking about who won the part one of the HOH?
The one thing, yes. Outside of Cody 1v1ing
Wait.
Himself.
I'm sorry. Like, Aman, there's like one thing on the show that we haven't talked about. What are we talking about? Like, what?
I'm being difficult. I was building suspense.
All right, go ahead.
Cody has he has won part two of the HOH, meaning that Cody and Nicole will be facing off on finale night to see who is going to win part three and get the sole decision on who to take into the final two with them. So Enzo is out. He is in the exact same position that he was in back in BB12. Having to rely on someone else to take him to the final two. And it's looking like history will repeat itself once again, because as of right now, it's not looking good for his chances into making to the final two. That's kind of where we're at. We did get to see a little bit of him on the feeds.
What about Cody? Because like last I talked with Taryn again, like I worked over the weekend, like what has Cody been saying insofar as Enzo? Because last I heard, we felt like, Cody was more apt to take Enzo to the end because Nicole has won before and Cody feels like he can win against anybody. He wants to give his boy at least $50,000. So what if Cody wins part three?
Who is he going to take? Here's the thing.
I think he is more likely to cut Nicole than Nicole is more likely to cut him.
I think that's definitely true. Yeah,
but the way that it's looking right now, and the way that Enzo is acting, because I mean, even today, like Enzo took forever to get out of the bed this morning, and when he did wake up, he said, "That's it, yo, final three, screw it." So it's looking like he's seeing the writing on the wall. So maybe
Enzo, I'm asking you guys, like, what's Cody gonna do? What's Nicole gonna do? How are you feeling today?
I think Cody's going to take Nicole. I think that.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right. Yeah. That's news to me. Okay, cool. Yeah. I think Cody's going to take Enzo. But like, I know Taryn was talking about the fact that, you know, if Enzo was shut out of part one and part two, that might impact Cody. Puya, do you think that is true? That might impact Cody? He's more apt to take Nicole now that she like has a 50-50 shot to hold his fate in her hands? Or if he wins part three, he's going to be like, sorry, Nicole, see you later.
Well, I do think that, yeah, the whole argument of whoever is in the part three with him is the one he's most likely to take makes sense, just because that's who he's going to butter up the whole week, so that in the event that he doesn't win part three, if he stumbles, that person takes him. So I do feel like if he's buttering her up all nice and ready to cook and then doesn't win and wins part three, is he really going to look at her in the face and be like, yeah, I've just been telling you what you want to hear. Get out. Like, go out. Like, forget everything you've heard from me.
Oh, my God, Cody.
Yeah. And it helps. It helps. It really does help when someone like Enzo is already like he's already kind of accepted the loss, right? He's already not like, he's a shadow of himself already. He's like a little like, you know, he's defeated. Well, he said tonight, he said a line that I feel like he kind of, you know, it was a premonition of what he is.
I hit that wall hard every time.
That's Cody, but Enzo, that's being said about Enzo. Let's say that. I do feel like, you know, ultimately he's just defeated. Is that not the case, Rob?
Yeah, he actually was not wearing zombie makeup. That's actually what Enzo looks like right now. His body is decomposing in that house. It's very sad.
It's just sad to watch. Like I said before, like I had some schadenfreude in the morning, and now I'm just like, this is pitiful. This is so
this is pitiful. Like, I don't understand. Yo. Like, what? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Maggie in Big Brother 6 shut out of part one and part two and still got somebody to take her to the end and still won the game? Like, why is he acting like, why is he giving up, is what I'm saying.
I think that he thinks that Cody's going to take Nicole. I think that he sees the writing on the wall, and because he's been talking about that final three decision now, or not that final, that triple eviction decision. And I think that Christmas got in his head. I think Tyler got in his head. I think all these people have gotten in his head, and he's like, yo, I can't go against the pregame, and yo, I didn't pregame, and I think that they pregamed, yo. And I think that he really thinks that Cody's going to take Nicole. And I think that he's now feeling like a sad sack because he didn't evict Nicole over David.
Yeah.
Which
it's really sad to see.
Which yeah. I wish he would at least be trying. Like, I wish he would be going up to both of them. Of course, he feels like it's going to endanger his opportunities with Cody. If he has a shot, it's Cody. Like, do you agree with that or not?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. But if he goes, if he already is feeling so defeated, I think right now he really feels like there's like an 80% chance he's cut. Like, if he really feels like the odds are that bad against him, why doesn't he go to Nicole and say, hey, you didn't know this. I've had a final two with Cody this whole time. You should take me because you will beat me. Like, I need 50K.
He should be telling her that. Like, he should be.
I know.
Yeah.
Scaredy cat.
Mm.
That's it.
Scary end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's it, yo.
That's definitely it. All right. How about we talk about what's coming up here on the old network before we head on out then? How about that? Let's do
all
that.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. So News AF back in full force. Rob,
yeah, Puya,
back
now,
with Danny and Tyson.
I'm going to give you notes after this. Okay.
Okay. Absolutely. I'm open to feedback. I need the feedback. I'm definitely a little worried, but
let me hear this.
Yeah, this did not have coffee in it. This was, I had to relax. I'm feeling good. But yeah, no. Rob got back together with Danny and Tyson talking about some. Are these what, the murder hornets, Rob? Is this what this episode was about?
It didn't happen yet, Puya. This is coming up tomorrow.
Tuesday. You know what? You are right. It is Monday. Again, my apologies. But it's coming up tomorrow. So check that out. I'm shooting a part three, Rob. That's my attempt here. Okay, I'm going to shoot myself a part three. All right?
Oh, my God. I am loving this live audition right now. I love it.
Yes.
Not since yes. So You Think I've had to dance one? For dinner. But I'm excited to be here all the same. Back again with the Tar Pits here, where that's the supplementary podcast that's been coming through with the amazing race coverage this season. You get the recap and you get the extra. You get the feedback show, you get the exit interview in one fell swoop. And Corey Cool was brought back here today, not today, but on this podcast. Yes, which we do love a good Corey appearance. Check out Psychobabble, him and Tyler.
Scott, can we bring the Corey Cool picture back up? That I was looking at this today when I was listening to this podcast with Mike and just talking to Corey Cool. That Corey Cool to me looks like he can be the adult son of Enzo.
Right?
Oh, my days. Yes.
Especially with that hat. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That is so, that's such a spitting image.
Oh, that's very, very good.
Yeah.
The mini meow.
Definitely check that out with Mike and Jessica Leese this week.
Exit interview in that podcast also.
Yes, at the end of it, I believe. And then, Let's see. Oh, Great British Bake Off, back at it again. Episode 5 with Emily Fox, Haley Strong, and Kirk Clark talking all about Pastry Week. You know, we talked about some cakes today. They got pastries on over there. So be sure to check that out on the Top Chef Wrap Up pod.
Nailed that one.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Rob. And then look, two people who are on this panel, their pictures are on the board. You're the freak of the week, apparently. Find out why.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah, go find out all about it over on the Purple Pants podcast, episode 62. Bryce Isaiah out here talking about all things. Looks like there's an Amazing Race thing going on, Real Housewives. And then, of course, the great Amon always there to tell him all about the Big Brother T as well. Mm-hmm. So you be sure to check that out. And then let's see. Okay. And then another episode of another rendition.
Yeah, I can
of
do this one. Go for it. Yeah. I caught up with Sean Rector recently for the latest in our series of the Black Voices of Survivor podcast. And Sean Rector, of course, that if you remember him from his Survivor season, he is always a great listen. Had a really interesting conversation with him one-on-one. We talked about his background, that he was at the Million Man March back in the 90s, that he has been, you know, working as a, you know, an advocate for a very long time, and a really interesting conversation with him about a lot of the different things that he's done over the course of his life and his foundation that he started up on the Survivor feed for Black Voices of Survivor.
And then I've loved him on every panel that's been going on this summer as well, the large form panel. So this will be definitely a must listen for me. And then Taryn, the aforementioned Mr. Armstrong, you know, they stole his bit, but Taryn's going to give it to you like triple the amount what they gave you. So if you want to find out all about Cody's game, top to bottom, we're talking the start, the finish, the end, the middle, the left and rights. Player profile on Cody this morning done. That's available. Tomorrow it's going to be Wednesday's going to be Enzo, which means Tuesday's going to be Nicole.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. My eyes, I found them. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm on top of it. So you can check those out tomorrow morning, the Nicole Franzel story, and then Wednesday.
Oh my god, why didn't I get to go first?
And then
the Cody podcast was so long and then nobody had time to listen to mine before the finale.
And then
the sloppy in my sloppitar, just like my game, sloppy.
Yeah, and then on Wednesday, the 9 lives, that's 9 too many, the Enzo Palumbo story. Check that out on Wednesday. And then we've got, of course, the last Stockwatch rendition of the Roundtable on Tuesday, tomorrow, with Brent, Melissa, and Taryn talking all about that last ride to the Stockwatch. Can you rise the ranks, or are you going to remain as low as I am, which I had the most amazing free fall. I'm in like the 5,000s.
Ooh. So,
yeah. I don't want to talk about it, Brent, but it hurts. It still hurts. I've literally picked the wrong pick four weeks in a row in an attempt to jump. But yeah, man, are you excited for tomorrow?
I am. Yeah. It's been a fun ride. I think we finally have the Stockwatch like where we want it, in terms of, you know, it, like for the longest time we were like sort of workshopping the Stockwatch in terms of like, you know, how do we, you know, price these people accordingly based on our ratings, you know, and like how do we prevent people from like, you know, buying at a one and going to a two and doubling their money. You know, we were trying to prevent stuff like that because we want to reward good play. But I think we've got it where we want it to now, and it's been a fantastic season, at least on the Stockwatch. And you know, Cody getting some amazing scores, scores that we've never handed out before, like, you know, 10 10 10. And of course, it's always hard to get a 10 from the audience because the
10s
audience
across the board.
Right. That's what we gave out, Cody. So we'll see if he gets that tomorrow. I think he might.
Where's my 10? This isn't fair.
If I knew she was going to cut Cody, I would think very hard about it. But I don't think she's going to.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the safe play there. But then the show over here that we're going to talk about, we mentioned it earlier, but if you stuck around past the spoiler section, bless you. Thank you for being here with us this whole way tonight. Back at it again on the finale night. It's going to be me. It's going to be Brent, Melissa, and Chantel, and we're going to break down everything. Will Nicole cut Cody? Find out. Will Cody win? Find out. Will Enzo cry? Find out. That and so much more going down finale night. We'll be back here on probably 11:15 Eastern-ish. But yeah, keep on the lookout for that. And yeah, we'll have lots to talk about there. All right. And of course, if you are happy with
Don't
the coverage, if you're happy. Okay, well, let me sit up straight for this one and make
Better
sure
nail
I'm
this
ready
one.
For this one. All right. So if you are loving the coverage, if you've been enjoying the ride so far this season, as we get to the final show, the go home show, the finale, the grand finale, once that ends, become a patron. There's a lot more going on there, team. There's patron-only shows. Rob does the 5 for 5 with Nicole, his lovely partner in crime, through many things. They talk. For me, it's a must-listen every week. There's a Discord available now. There's a lot of conversation going on there. There's a Facebook group. There's a lot of discounts that come through. There's merch. Honestly, the options are limitless. The perks are limitless. You can find out more information on that over on robasawebsite.com/patron. And I'll do you one better. If you want even more information, message me. I got you. I'll let you know.
Oh, wow.
I'll let you know. Yeah. Yeah. And that's definitely not me buttering up the plug here. That's me being honest. Straight up DM me. Okay.
Yeah.
And then one more. We got.
The pregame show. I'll be live before the finale night. Let me find out from people if I'm going to poll internally and see whether I should go on at 7 p.m. or if people are going to be watching the, or if I should go on at 8 p.m. Eastern, or if people are going to be watching The Amazing Race during that time. So I will check in with the patrons to see when do we want a pre-finale pregame show.
All right, 7 or 8 patrons, just keep an eye out with Rob and you will know where to go. And then finally, if you want to find us on social media, here are the places you can. Facebook, it's at Rob as a Podcast. Twitter, it's also at Rob as a Podcast. And then Instagram is at RHAP Grams. This season has been really great for, you know, you get those little bits and pieces of the videos that you might have missed, the coverage you might have missed. You can find those clips, those highlights over on the social media channels. And especially, let me just quickly make a personal one, and not just because Liana was on there. Go and watch the recap of the recap from Friday, because that was a wild ride with Taryn, Chappelle, and Liana.
She was so cute in her little outfit. That was very nice. I liked that, Puya.
Yeah, no, that is, she's been trying to find a reason to wear that onesie for a minute now, and right. I think she that onesie has served its
that
purpose on
night.
That recap. It's perfect. All right.
Yeah. I vouch for the recap of the recap as well. It was very, very fun. Listen to the whole podcast, even though I wasn't supposed to.
And I'm sure it was well worth the time, Rob. Right? Absolutely.
Yeah, very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course,
the worst part was watching the recap of the recap. or watching the episode. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like eating a awful meal just to get the ice cream, the dessert later. And like you gotta fight through it, but then you get the dessert. You eat the vegetables, you get the dessert. So it works out. And then obviously there's more than one thing to vote for coming at the end. If you're a Big Brother fan, you're thinking about who am I voting for, America's favorite house guest. There's a whole other vote going on. That election day is November 3rd. Make sure you register to vote. Vote.gov. Get the vote in. Get ready. There's a lot coming in at the stretch here at the end of October, start of November.
Yeah.
Let's hope for a good time. Good one. Okay.
Maybe I'll do my mail-in ballot by candlelight tonight.
Yeah, are you going to... Do you have like a feather, like a quill to write with? Is that the move?
You got a carrier pigeon?
Yeah. Like a candle stamp? Oh my God, yeah. The authentic way to do it, Rob. You found it. All right.
Perfect.
All right. And on that note, let's start wrapping up saying our goodbyes here. Maggie, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at _MLMorgan and on Instagram at @MLMorgan_.
All right. And Aman, where can people find you? What are you up to? What's going on?
Yeah, you can find me at Aman Adwin on Twitter. I think this is officially my last appearance on RHAP for Big Brother 22. So such a wild, wild ride. I've had so much fun. Everybody out there, just vote for whoever the heck you want to vote for AFP. Stop killing each other in your mentions. I've seen so many senseless, stupid arguments on Twitter all week long. Just hit the vote button and then keep it pushing. Like, I promise you, 2 months from now, you're not going to give a flying shoot. So just go ahead and do it. Vote for who makes you happy. And let's leave it at that. I'm done.
All right. And Brent, what do you have going on? Let the people know. They already can see it, but
you can find me tomorrow with Taryn and Melissa in the final Stockwatch of the season. Excited about that. You can always find me at One Lucky Gay, where I post my musings about Big Brother and other shows. And you can always follow me across at One Lucky Gay on all platforms, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, whatever you got. That's my name.
All right. And last but not least, the man who has had an endurance battle of his own tonight.
Oh, my God.
With electricity, I really, the internet.
This week, I have really been tested on I'm so happy to be able to be back here on the podcast tonight. But I am very grateful to everybody that's been a part of filling in for me over the last week. And Booyah, you've done a tremendous job tonight. As I sit here, I have traveled from coast to coast during the pandemic. I've been to funerals. I've been to a wedding. I've been back in a house with no power and no internet. I'm sitting here podcasting on an iPhone with the only light in my house being a USB ring light. But I'm so grateful to the audience who has had to... settle for this from me, but I really appreciate everybody here tonight, all the work that Taryn did this past week, Mike and Jess filling in for me on the Amazing Race podcast of the weekend, Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and everybody else at RHAP. So thank you so much. I really appreciate your patience during this very trying time for me.
And if
Yay,
I may,
Rob!
Yay! Yeah, and if I may take my hosting mask off and then just be serious with you, Rob, thank you for everything you've done for us, for giving us this platform, for introducing us to so many amazing new faces. Maggie out here. You start, when I first met Maggie, Maggie was talking about, here are all the weird people that I want on the All-Star season, not the strategic. Mm-hmm. Give me the nutsos. And
those,
you know,
are the more fun.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I agree, Brent.
And getting to meet everybody along the way this season has been such a treat. And then no one else would have the dedication you have to be here with a USB ring light and headphones and a phone and just be pushing through. So seriously, well, thank you so much for everything you continue to do for us.
Thank you, Puya. And look, Big Brother had a down season, but we had a great season for Big Brother 22.
We did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We killed it.
They go low, we go high.
Yeah. That's the way. Not us. Hey. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And then
we got
BBK
9 coming up down the pipeline. So excited for that. Yes. We're gonna stay fed.
It's gonna be fine.
Yes.
Oh, it's gonna be a good time. Absolutely. And last but not least, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, Puyaism for all of them. I will be maybe World Series pending. Might be back with another Masked Singer this week with Liana Boris talking all about Group C for the first time. Excited if that happens. If not, it'll be next week. But we'll be fine. There's a lot going on. And then I'll be back again talking 90 Day Fiancé. My guest for this week is going to be Jason Reed. And we're going to break down everything that went on in the latest 90 Day Fiancé the other way. And if you are a fan of...
Hold on.
Oh! The power's back on.
A miracle. A light has been
on. Oh, wow.
So, yay!
Rob, you know what you can say now?
Yes. Thank you.
It's because you said how grateful you were. You had peace and exercise patience, right? Or what is it? What did you say?
Yes. Yes. Wow. Yes. We were still exercise patience.
Yeah.
Electrify patience.
Yes. Okay. All right. I'm gonna go run the microwave for no reason now, just because I can.
You can do so many things. I am upset that you no longer will be doing your stuff by candlelight tonight. But hey, when you get power, you use it.
We'll see. It can still go out again. Wait, let's not get too excited. Okay.
Well, okay. Well, on that note, with the lights coming off, we must draw the curtains and put the lights down on this here podcast. We hope you've had a phenomenal time. We definitely did. Come back again Wednesday for more Big Brother coverage. Until then, take care. Have a good time. And may every day be less of a drag than a zombie would have, okay? Adios.